There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. Tags, I've been killing it in my bold predictions article the last 2 weeks. I've got a great one for the end of today's episode. I'm pretty pumped.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I love the bold predictions. I mean, people listen and they want to hold us to them, but it's bold for a reason. It's that nobody else wants to admit that. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing it, man.
They are not projections. They are predictions. They are things that can happen that we're guessing has a better chance of happening than most people would think. It's not something that we're definitely saying is going to happen, right?
For sure. I mean, it's like saying that Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram would finish as the number one and number two running backs. I mean, nobody would think that was going to happen at the beginning of the year, but if you said it as a bold prediction, it's probably going to work out.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing that's happening. Joining us today is guest Matt Harmon of NFL.com. He's creator of Reception Perception, and you can find him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, it is a really busy week, so thank you so much for coming on the show. I have no idea why you decided to do this.
Well, it's just because I like you guys so much. I think that's what
well,
it
thanks.
Is. thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's a fun week, like trying to cram, you know, a Monday to Friday's worth of preparation into a Monday to Wednesday, essentially. It'll be fun. Maybe we're shooting from the hip a little bit more here on this podcast today than we would be if we're doing it any other week. But, you know, that's fun, too. And I am with you guys. I love doing that. We do a bold predictions article for NFL.com and every week, and it's always fun, you know, really trying to go out, like, you put all this week's worth of preparation into everything, and then it's like, well, just what's the craziest thing I could see happening? And I enjoy throwing that out there too.
Matt, can you explain what is Reception Perception to our audience, and maybe give us one or two players that the model loves?
Sure. Yeah. It's funny, we're talking about Reception Perception in the middle of the season. It's like, I feel like my life is so segmented that this is like the thing I talk about the most in the off season. It's like, oh yeah, this is a whole other thing. Yeah. I do. Right. But Reception Perception is a methodology that I developed to evaluate wide receiver play, really try to kind of break down exactly what each individual wide receiver does so well. Because if you think about the position, like, everybody plays it so differently. I mean, you can look at, like, even the Dallas Cowboys, like how Dez Bryant plays wide receiver is much different than how Cole Beasley plays wide receiver. You know, historical examples like Calvin Johnson to Antonio Brown, even how those guys play are very different. So what Reception Perception does is it breaks down each individual route that they run, how often they got open on each individual route, against what type of coverage are they most successful, what type of routes are they running the most. So pretty much anything you want to know about a wide receiver, Reception Perception is going to tell you about it. And one guy who's kind of unfortunate, who the model really liked back in college and liked his rookie season, and he was kind of starting to get cooking, unfortunately, he seems to be having some health issues right now, is Sterling Shepard, who really kind of the last man standing in the Giants wide receiver core after Brandon Marshall, Dwayne Harris, and some guy named Odell Beckham. Beckham went down for the season. Sterling Shepard really seemed like he was going to start to finish this year strong. Hopefully he can get back going and we start to see more of him in the second half of the season. He's definitely one player that I think, if he can get healthy, is somebody that I think is going to be a big difference maker for fantasy teams and for the Giants going forward. You know, this is someone that we haven't, you know, got to see too much of in a feature role. But now that we did see little glimpses of it, I think the Giants are really going to kind of by accident stumble into the fact that they have two real featured young players in their offense in Ingram and Shepard to go along with Beckham when he comes back next year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun if they get a quarterback.
I think, Bobby, I want to say that you were out the last time we had Matt on. I hosted the podcast with Matt and we talked about this. We actually talked about Brandon Marshall with the Giants. And Matt, we came to the conclusion together. Both of us started talking about the similarities between Andre Johnson and Brandon Marshall. And then we said, wait a minute. So is Sterling Shepard the Dante Moncrief? And is he going to have a bigger season than Brandon Marshall? So I think we were headed down that path even before Brandon Marshall got hurt. So it just kind of goes back to the method, how it works, why it's great. And one of my bold predictions that I have written down, Matt's going to love because I know it's one of his reception perception favorites. So Look forward to that at the end of the show.
I remember last year when you were talking about how good Sterling Shepard was going to be, I got so pumped up and I was telling everyone about it because you're the wide receiver whisperer, man. So I'm disappointed it didn't happen, but I am a big believer in Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, no,
for sure. It's going to be, I want to see him get back in the field. This migraine thing is worrisome because it sounds like a lot like Percy Harvin, where they said he's not doing well this week and he's not practicing. So it's looking very grim for him to play on Thanksgiving, which really sucks because his matchup was pristine. Mm-hmm. But obviously we've got to look forward and kind of look at that. I know that's what we're going to be doing today.
You know, it's really interesting, this reception perception. It's like the next generation thing. If you guys have seen Cars 3, like, I'm pretty sure they copied off of Matt Harmon. Oh,
don't compare it to Cars 3.
They copied off of you, Matt. How does that feel to have a whole movie made about you?
Well, I mean, I guess I can check that off the vanity goals for my life. You know, maybe next time I can scratch a few of the $1 million that they probably made off it. You know, maybe some of that can come my way.
Yes.
I just moved and I definitely did not have that much money to be working with. So maybe we'll see next time.
All right, guys. Well, let's just get right into it. This is the start or sit episode. So we're going to be going one position at a time, giving our non-obvious start of the week at each position, our non-obvious sit of the week, and talk about a few players on the fringe of being startable. Then at the end of the show, as I alluded to, we're going to each give a bold prediction or two for the week. Before we get going, though, I want to remind you all that we're giving away a year subscription to Fantasy Pros Hall of Fame package. It's our top upgrade with all the goodies. And if you want in the sweepstakes, just go to iTunes, rate and review us, then take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. All right, guys, so quarterback. And Matt, we're going to let you go first here. Who's your start of the week?
Yeah, I think this guy, as long as he plays on Sunday, is in a really good position. And that's Jacoby Brissett for the Indianapolis Colts. He's been an incredible deep passer during his starting tenure. I think he's honestly a guy that's established himself as like a potential future starter in the NFL. You know, a really good backup, yes, but somebody that I think could be kind of that, you know, potential low-end starter for a while that you groom. Although I don't think the Colts are going to let him get out of town if they're smart, because obviously they have a question with their quarterback in Andrew Luck. But talking more about this coming week, he's got a great matchup against the Titans, who allowed a ton of deep passing targets, allowed a lot of completions into tight windows for Ben Roethlisberger. I wrote about that in my Next Gen Stats recap of that Thursday night game. That was something that Roethlisberger, both deep passing and tight window passing, really struggled with going into this week. But then obviously turned it around against the Titans. And I think Jacoby Brissett, those are two things he's done really well all year. And this looks like, this profiles as a game that's a big T.Y. Hilton contest too. And he's somebody that I think people probably want to side getting into their lineups. If you look at his big games this year, they've all been rather predictable. They've been against the three games that you're happy you started T.Y. Hilton were against soft secondaries, playing either at home in Indianapolis or against a team in the Texans that also plays in a dome. That's exactly what this game is, against a soft Titans secondary in Indianapolis. So I think because of that, Jacoby Brissett's like the ideal streaming quarterback this week.
Yeah, I dig the Brissett call. These two teams played each other back in week 6, and Brissett finished with 14 fantasy points. He was the QB 14 on the week, but it was really weird. T.Y. Hilton only saw 4 targets in that game. I want to say he only caught one pass, and it was weird, the game plan. That Jacoby Brissett only threw one touchdown, but there should have been two. I remember that game pretty clearly. Dante Moncrief dropped a touchdown in the end zone. It was a for sure touchdown. I don't know how he dropped it. It happened. But I dig the Brissett call, and he's available on a majority of waiver wires. So if you're struggling, you know, if there's guys like maybe Marcus Mariota who haven't hit the wire, Andy Dalton, I definitely think Brissett is someone who's available in most leagues. I like that call.
He's a really good streamer. Yeah, I'm fine with the call. I've got him at QB number 14. I might nudge him up to 13. He's definitely on my radar to start. Tags, who's your start of the week at quarterback?
You know, there's quite a lot of them that I really feel very comfortable playing. And I think Marcus Mariota is one that I'm going to go to the well again. I talked to a lot of people like in DFS and primetime saying Roethlisberger and Mariota, the game should have been higher scoring than most thought. Mariota didn't look very good in that game. I'm not going to sit here and pretend he didn't. You know, that camera angle that they were showing, it showed what he was doing. He was almost waiting for his wide receivers to finish their route before he wasn't throwing with any anticipation. That was definitely a concern. But when you look at Mariota's like work throughout the entire season, he hasn't been a great fantasy quarterback, but he also hasn't been bad. His floor has been extremely high. And when you combine that with the fact that the Colts have allowed the quarterbacks that have played against the Colts, there have only been one quarterback, and that was Tom Savage, who finished outside the top 15 quarterbacks for that particular week.
Wow.
Marcus Mariota was one of the players who he finishes the QB 13 when they played, but he only threw one touchdown, 306 yards in their matchup. But Indy's secondary, they've cut Vontae Davis since that time. They're relying on Rashawn Melvin. There's so many question marks about the secondary. Lost their first round pick, the safety, Malik Hooker. He was playing extremely well. So this defense has had a lot of struggles. Again, it's in a dome. You don't have to worry about the weather. Mariota, unless you think he's bad at football, you want to play him this week. That's essentially what it comes down to. And I don't think Mariota is maybe as great as some people thought he was last year, but I also don't think he's as bad as he's portrayed sometimes this year, like against the Browns when he didn't throw a single touchdown.
I'm with you. I mean, he's not a starter every single week, but against Indianapolis, I think he's a definite starter. Like, you got to start him.
Matt, what's your take on Mariota and like, you know, his performance that he had against the Steelers?
Yeah, I thought that there were a couple plays, and, you know, Corey Davis is another player that I really like to eventually, maybe not this year, but, you know, eventually get going as a top-end wide receiver in the NFL. He actually came out and said, you know, that some of those interceptions that Mariota throw, maybe he could put some of the responsibility on his shoulders. And I get that, you know, rookie coming to the NFL. But the interesting to me is I hadn't really considered Mariota as a great option against the Colts. I mean, I obviously the Colts are a defense you can exploit just with the way Mariota's been playing lately. But, you know, especially in DFS, like if you can pinpoint that game, like that other people maybe aren't, that could be really high scoring. And if I'm sitting here saying that I like Jacoby Brissett and you're sitting here saying you like Marcus Mariota, then maybe people want to consider, you know, if they're playing DFS, like stacking this game up a little bit, you know, doing some of the like a Brissett Hilton stack and then running it back with somebody like Rishard Matthews or Delanie Walker, who, you know, Mariota's stat line would have looked a lot nicer if Delanie Walker came down with that easy touchdown pass in the end zone, which just was a total killer too. So I think Mariota's been okay this year. He has definitely not taken the leap to be like the next great quarterback in the NFL. And especially, I think this, the transition to a more pass heavy offense hasn't gone as well as maybe the Titans wanted, you know, with some of their new personnel. But I definitely like the call that this game could be a little more high scoring than people think.
I don't think Mariota is ever going to take that leap either. The guy that I think will, or maybe already has, is Dak Prescott. He's got at least 3 passing touchdowns in 5 of his last 8 games. I just don't get it. Like, ECR, I'm looking at him, he's number 13. Yeah. That's expert consensus ranking. So it takes over 100 experts and it combines their rankings together. And most experts think that he's not startable this week. I don't get it. Someone help me out here. Like, he's one of the most consistent quarterbacks in football. He has one bad game against maybe the best team in football. And all of a sudden, everyone's afraid to start him. I don't get it. He has 4 bad games in his entire career. That's the best rate in football.
Right, and I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan. Now, he has had 2 bad games in a row. I can't pretend that he hasn't, but Tyron Smith is the common denominator here. Some people are tying it to Ezekiel Elliott and the fact that Elliott, him being out of the offense, that's what's causing all this. It's Tyron Smith, the left tackle, the best left tackle in all of football, and it's not really all that close. Him being out, now that's the thing, is the news just came out today that Tyron Smith is going to play on Thanksgiving. Like, he's practiced the last 2 days. They expect him to play, so that's massive. Especially against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. That's a nasty pass rush, but he needs that offensive line going. I'm The only thing I'm concerned about with Prescott is that I think this Cowboys team is a team that's lost their identity. Like, I feel like having Alfred Morris in the backfield hurts them more than people think. And I'm not saying that Alfred Morris is a bad running back. I'm just saying that he's very one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pass block very well. He doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. It's just they're not setting, like, the play action. It hasn't been working. They're just having Dez Bryant out there running routes. They're suffering from not adding a number two wide receiver. I really wanted them to go out and get Jeremy Maclin. Once he was released by the Chiefs, I really wanted them to add Maclin to this wide receiver core. It could have been so much better. But it really comes down to the left tackle. And now that Tyron Smith is going to play, Dak Prescott definitely is a must start for me. Like, you have to play him against the Chargers.
You know, Dorial Green-Beckham's still out there. If they need a number two,
oh, stop, God. Stop, stop.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. I'm going to keep bringing him up for like 5 years. There's always wide receivers like that. It's just annoying. He has so much talent. You know, Dak Prescott really wasn't too bad 2 weeks ago. He had 17 fantasy points.
Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown. That helped. I like this call, though, man. If Tyron Smith plays, and I think Dak Prescott's a top 10 quarterback again, you know, yeah, I think that, sure. Look, they're not only did they lose their potential Hall of Fame, like best left tackle in the NFL, they downgraded to a guy who started against Atlanta, Chaz Green. He got beat out at the starting left guard job. Like, you don't lose out at left guard and then go out and be an adequate left tackle.
Left tackle.
And then they replaced him with Byron Bell, who got ran out of town by the Panthers and the Titans back when they had bad offensive lines. So, you know, it's been a huge downgrade. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, people are really hard on Dak right now, saying he's been exposed. But to me, the coaching staff there in Dallas has been exposed just as much. They have not made any adjustments. Yes. And I think you bring up a good point, Tags, that, you know, they don't have anybody right now who like a true dominator in the pass game. And in the passing game, Dez Bryant's definitely not what he used to be. And then the rest of the guys there are just, they're total Jags. So it's tough, but I think things get right for Dallas on Thanksgiving.
By Jags, you mean Super Bowl contenders?
No, the other kind of Jags.
All right. You know what's funny is Bobby brought this on. Hold on a second. Before we get to the set, real quick, I just want Matt. Bobby said yesterday on our show yesterday that the Jags think about in the Super Bowl aspirations. And granted, we don't want to believe that Blake Bortles is a Super Bowl quarterback, but there have been worse quarterbacks than Bortles to win a Super Bowl. And is it possible that this Jaguars defense is the next Baltimore Ravens, like the Baltimore Ravens of the 2000s?
Oh yes. Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, they're incredible. They have not only a great pressure unit up front, Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue are top 10 in our next gen stats pressures for the mm-hmm. season. They have two dominating outside cornerbacks. They have great linebackers that fly around the field. So, I mean, it's absolutely that type of defense. And they have Marcel Darius in there to fill up a run defense that was a slightly leaky to start the season. So I really like the way it's set up. I totally believe that. And especially in the AFC, like, You go in the AFC and, like, there's going to be some just absolutely bad teams that get in on that sixth seed for sure. Yeah. And maybe the fifth seed too. So I definitely think Jacksonville can be a Super Bowl contender. It's just kind of like it's just always like waiting for the other shoe to drop with Bortles. And when is he really going to screw you out of a win?
Yeah, probably every game. Like, that's what I think.
Every
as
game
a Jags
they need
fan.
Him to.
Yeah. You know, since Darius came over, the Jags have the best run defense in football. I know it hasn't been that long, but that is add that with the pass rush and the cornerbacks. That is really scary.
Yeah, it's a scary team. But yeah, Matt, who's your sit at quarterback this week?
Oh, man, it's tough. But, you know, guys, I really do not have that great of a feeling about Matt Stafford in Minnesota. You know, I think the Vikings defense is good. It's nice that they have Detroit. Detroit gets the game at home. But we really saw Mike Zimmer put together a great game plan against the Rams offense. And that's an even tougher offense to defend, in my opinion, than Detroit's. I think Detroit can be taken out because they don't run the ball real well. They have a real limited passing game that doesn't have much of a counterpunch. And I think this game is just going to be a lower scoring game. I know there's some reason to expect that it could be a shootout with the pace that these two offenses play at, and obviously with the talent that Minnesota has. But I just really don't like Matt Stafford going against this defense. And, you know, Mike Zimmer is just really good at scheming against his division rivals. If you look at the splits between these teams, whether it's Detroit or even Green Bay, like, these quarterbacks just don't produce against the Vikings. So he's somebody that I'd probably I'd probably like shy away from. And the fact, like you said, Bobby, that, you know, Dak Prescott right now behind him in consensus rankings, I would definitely play. I would play Prescott over him. I'd play Keenum in this same game over him. There are several options right now that I like a little bit better than Stafford.
I'll piggyback off that. Tags, I was going to let you go next, but Stafford was my guy too. I mean, you look at it, Stafford's been really good this season, except when he played the Vikings. He went for just 10 fantasy points in that game. Besides that, his low is 15. This defense is really good, and we know Stafford has struggled throughout his career against good teams. It's just who he is, so I'm not adamant about it, but he's outside my top 14. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Stafford's a good call. He was one of the people I had down. I always try to have multiple sits just in case we have overlap and like, so if we all agreed on one guy. But my number one sit of the week is Jared Goff. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be pushing him back into their lineups. And granted, I want to put an asterisk next to this and say that if Marshawn Lattimore sits and if he's not available for this game, I would upgrade Goff slightly. But looking at Goff's, I've been working on the primer today, and Goff against, so basically here's the game. There's been four games where he's scored 10 or less fantasy points, and the other six games he's scored obviously more, and he's played really well. Jared Goff has been really good against bad teams. He's been really bad against good teams.
Yep.
Against Seattle, Jacksonville, Minnesota, and Washington, all three of those four are top 10. He's scored 10 or fewer fantasy points. Here's the teams that he scored more than that against: Indianapolis, 25th, San Francisco, 29th, Dallas, 16th, and that's a generous 16th, Arizona, 27th, the Giants, 30th, Houston, 32nd. Those are the only teams that he's really done well against. So when you take away Robert Woods, his number one option, and Bobby, I'm saying number one option because Sammy Watkins has been completely off the grid. I'm not saying that Robert Woods is more talented than Sammy Watkins. I don't believe that, but it's his number one option in this offense. It's his safety valve, the one he's been going to, you know, 8 to 10 times a game.
Yeah.
So you take him away, you add in a Saints defense that has been, the Saints have allowed since weeks 1 and 2 where they, Sam Bradford and Tom Brady kind of went off, but since the start of week 3, there have been just two quarterbacks who have thrown for more than 167 yards against the Saints. This is not a good matchup, guys. So Jared Goff, I mean, I think everybody we've talked about to this point can be started over him. I mean, I would rather start Jacoby Brissett. I'd rather start Mariota. I'd rather start Dak Prescott.
You know, I was going to say Jared Goff, but I thought it would be boring if I said him 3 weeks in a row. Basically, I just think Jared Goff is not very good. Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
I'm not going to say that Goff isn't good. I feel like he's, I feel like he's a competent NFL quarterback. I feel like he is playing for an offensive scheme that's fantastic. I think Sean McVay's a very smart individual. I don't think we're ever going to be talking about Jared Goff like he's one of the elite talents in this league. I think his ceiling is capped. And I'm sorry, Matt. I know we're talking about your Rams.
My Rams. Jeez. Well, no, I understand the sanction or the sentiment there. With Jared Goff, where he is right now at his NFL career. I'm just happy that he's taken such a step, you know, as a lifelong Rams fan, of course. Uh-huh. I'm just happy.
Yes.
I'm just happy that he's taken such a massive step from year one to year two. And the way Sean McVay has coached up that offense has been really impressive. And also the addition of a lot of pretty solid talent. As you're talking, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I mean, with Robert Woods out, like, he has been kind of the X factor of late. And I think that is a pretty big loss that we should probably definitely take account of.
Yeah. It's not that I think Goff is that bad. I just think I'm looking at the quarterbacks. I think Stafford's a better quarterback. I think Rivers, Dalton, Derek Carr, Tyrod Taylor are better quarterbacks. And the only thing about Goff is that he's playing with McVay. Like, you throw any of those guys in with McVay, I think they're top 6 or 7 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I agree with you on this. I don't think Goff's a top 10 real life NFL quarterback yet. Not to say that he can't. That's what I'm saying. I think he's solid enough. I think you could build a team around him and be competent as long as you have a good defense, a good run game, and build around him. I think he's good enough. But again, he's not going to lead your team to a Super Bowl like someone like Tom Brady or, you know, like Matt Ryan did last year. I don't think Jared Goff has that ceiling.
Okay, before we move on over to the running back position, I want to pause to tell you all about the sponsor of today's show, SeatGeek. My boys are super into basketball. You guys have heard me talk about it. And the St. Louis Billikens finally have a decent team again. So I was surfing the SeatGeek app, trying to score some tickets for when Murray State comes into town. I know for those of you listening, that doesn't sound very exciting, but that's about as good as it gets here in the St. Louis area. So I was able to zoom right in and look at all my ticket options. And I got some seats right on the front row where no one's going to be able to, you know, sit in front of them. And, you know, where the their boys will actually be able to see and pay attention to what's going on. I used to always spend a really long time searching around on other sites to find a decent value, and then I was in seats that I didn't want to be in. But that never happens with SeatGeek. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it is by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, can instantly find the best value across multiple ticket sites. SeatGeek saves you time and money by grading the value of every seat across the boats of multiple sites. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS today. That's promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, guys, so running backs. Matt, we'll let you start here again. Who's your start of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with another Dallas Cowboys player, and that's Alfred Morris again on Thursday night. I really like the way things have set up for Morris. You know, he's looked good the last 2 weeks. I know that you know, like you mentioned, Tags, he definitely is not the player that Ezekiel Elliott is. He does not command the defensive respect that Ezekiel Elliott is. I think Ezekiel Elliott is a massive loss not being out there. I do not think that's why Dak Prescott struggled, as you mentioned, but Alfred Morris has looked good. Morris averages 5.71 yards gained after defenders close within a yard of him. That's one of our next-gen stats at the NFL Network. It correlates really well with yards after contact and just general elusiveness for running backs. He leads all running backs with 40-plus carries this season with that number. I think he has looked really good. He's been making defenders miss. And this is a nice matchup against the Chargers, who just got Shady McCoy kind of off the schneid last week. So I really like the way this game sets up for Morris. I think he's a solid floor play at the running back position, and if this offense gets hot against the Chargers, and I really like the way this game sets up too for fantasy and also just to be an enjoyable game on Thanksgiving, if this sets up really well for him, you know, he can definitely get, you know, a couple of goal line shots here and there. So I really like Morris as a play on Thanksgiving.
What's funny, Matt, it's odd that we're having you on the show, because legitimately right before we started recording this podcast, I was talking with Graham Barfield on Twitter, and it was about a next gen stats, actually a spray chart about Alfred Morris over the last 2 weeks and his carries. The Cowboys have literally almost, like, I want to say there was maybe like one or two times that they've run off left tackle.
Oh, yeah.
They're not doing it. They were running
everything. I seen it.
Yeah, it was nuts. They were just basically running everything up the middle or to the right. So it's like they were almost like cutting off the field. So Alfred Morris, I'm definitely with you on this call. Again, I have talked about Morris, but in my rankings and the primer that I'm going through this week, I've said that this game sets up extremely well for him. He should total a ton of carries. The Chargers are in the bottom five in terms of rushing attempts allowed per game. They're not going to blow out any team, so that we don't have to worry about them blowing out the Cowboys in Dallas. The game script should set up pretty fine for them. And after the way last week went, man, it was really ugly for this offense. So I do see them. It's more of like a ground and pound offense. But Bobby, I know you're going to throw up when I tell you who my start of the week is. I think people should play. I'm going to say this is that
I bet you'll throw up more at mine than I'll throw up at yours.
You think so? Mine is CJ Anderson. Does that make
I almost said him, man. That is so funny. I almost said him.
You know what's crazy is there's a really interesting dynamic in this game, in the fact that the Broncos today, they fired their offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, and they're obviously changing. They're going to Bill Musgrave. But the reason that I'm interested in this game is that the Raiders have also fired their defensive coordinator. So it's two teams going up against each other that have kind of fired each other. It's just so odd. But the reason I want to do this is because the Raiders defense, we all knew that they were going to have a leaky run defense. Their linebacking core is just not known to be run stoppers. They're supposed to have a good pass rush. They haven't even done that. But if you look the last 6 weeks that they've played, the last six games of football, they have allowed a top 10 running back in every single one of those games. I mean, we're talking about Buck Allen. We're talking about Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, LeSean McCoy, Kenyon Drake, Damian Williams also, RB9, Deion Lewis last week. Rex Burkhead probably could have gotten there if he hadn't fumbled. There's so many reasons. Like, and that's a diverse type of running back that we just talked about. There's so many there. This is the reason Anderson's a player that this regime has put a lot into. I know they drafted Devontae Booker. He started getting more carries as the season's gone on. They've turned it into more of a timeshare. This is a game where they're going to run the ball 30 times. Paxton Lynch is going to be starting for them at quarterback. This is not great. You do not want to throw the ball 40 times with Paxton Lynch. We obviously know that. The Raiders are a defense that you can run on. The Raiders' offense has really been struggling, so I would assume that this should be a lower scoring game, that they should be able to control that. And I just think that going to Musgrave, he's got to play it safe here. And I think playing it safe goes with CJ Anderson while he's healthy. And that's what I'm saying, is just like looking at running backs outside the top 20, it gets ugly really quick. I have plenty of sits for this week, but I think CJ Anderson's one that you can trust as, you know, that low end RB2 flex play.
I think his floor is like 12 carries, right? You would start anybody in the NFL with 12 carries against the Raiders, right?
Should. I mean, you should. And the last time CJ Anderson played against them, he had 20 carries. He totaled 95 yards on the ground. He caught 17 yards. So he had a solid game against them earlier in the season. And granted, the Raiders have kind of fallen apart since then. Their defense is bad. Their offense just can't seem to string anything together. So, like I said, I mean, we're not talking, when we're talking about must plays of the week, we're talking about guys that are not obvious, because I think we can all hop on here and, you know, say to start Latavius Murray, start Samaje Perine, Deion Lewis. Like, those are names that everybody's going to start. We're talking about guys who are on the fringe that I think you should lock into your lineup.
Here's a guy who's available in a lot of leagues. If you need a running back, you can go pick him up, and I think he should be started in every league. It kind of reminds me of Isaiah Crowell a few weeks ago, Latavius Murray, when everyone forgot about him. Jonathan Stewart is somehow the ECR number 40 running back, despite getting 15 touches per game. He's coming off the bye and into a matchup against the helpless Jets. Like, the Panthers just keep feeding the ball. I know he's not great, but 15 touches per game, including goal line carries, I'm starting Jonathan Stewart.
He's starting to lose those goal line carries to Christian McCaffrey, man. Like, McCaffrey looks good. Like, McCaffrey's actually gotten better. I know Harmon tweeted out something about it, and I was never a McCaffrey guy. I don't know if you were, Matt, but I know that you were saying that basically he hasn't been able to break a tackle in the NFL, but he's looked better the last couple weeks. He's been playing a lot better. They've given him a few goal line opportunities. The Jets, regardless of people how they feel about him, the Jets haven't been terrible. I mean, there's only been one running back to top 86 yards on the ground against them. So, I mean, rushing touchdowns, they've allowed 4 on the season. Again, nothing extravagant about that. And I don't know if this is a great matchup. Jonathan Stewart, the fumbles the other week, I just think that Carolina is slowly losing confidence in him.
That's a good one. I thought about Jonathan Stewart and talking about him on this show when we were preparing for it earlier, just because, you know, again, you know, looking at these guys, it's so early in the week. I feel like I can tell myself both sides of the Jonathan Stewart story. And when Bobby brought him up, I was interested. And you're right, Tags. I was a big McCaffrey guy coming into the NFL. But there's also, like, probably not been many players this year that have disappointed me more than what we've gotten from Christian McCaffrey as a pure runner. As a receiver, he's been a really nice asset for the offense. Yeah. And I think he's been good in that regard, obviously. But, you know, as a runner, he's been awful. I mean, up until recently, the last, like, two weeks or so before their bye was when he really started to get going. But so did Jonathan Stewart. I mean, he eviscerated that Dolphins defense, which was, you know, probably one of the most unpredictable things of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, that could have a lot to do with the Dolphins. And as you mentioned, the Jets have looked much better lately. They shut down Doug Martin, but everybody shuts down Doug Martin. They also they shut down the Bills running game on Thursday night, too. They really made life tough on the offensive line and therefore LeSean McCoy. So I feel like I could tell myself both sides the Jonathan Stewart story. The reason, I guess, if you want to say like he could be a start, and I can see the wisdom in that, is just that this Panthers offense, like, if they continue to sustain the momentum that they went into the bye with coming out of the bye, even though this is a road game, they're going to score a lot of points. You know, this offense has hit its stride in terms of like what it wanted to be as an evolved unit, having Cam Newton not throw such low percentage passes all the time. If they're cooking, Jonathan Stewart is going to get some scoring chances. And for that reason, I guess you could say he's like a low end flex in standard leagues.
There you go, Bobby. He kind of agreed with you. He thought about bringing him up. So I think you win that one.
Felt like I agreed. I talked out of both sides of my mouth. But
I mean, after the two fumbles, they did trust him with 17 carries for over 110 yards. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's pretty clear the Panthers are still going to give him the football.
Yeah.
Let's talk running back sits now. Matt, who's your guy?
I feel like I'd like to sit so many running backs.
Yes, too. Yes.
I was surprised, though, to see Jay Ajayi at the 15th spot in terms of the consensus rankings here. I don't know that I, you know, and I didn't want, again, I'm with Tags. I didn't want to come in here and say, like, sit Joe Mixon, even though he's ranked pretty high, like, for somebody that's done literally nothing all year. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go a little higher. And And I can definitely see reason to sit Jay Ajayi against the Bears, simply because I don't think the Bears are that bad of a defense. In fact, I think they're kind of still a little underrated. And not to mention, like, this Philly backfield has not been a situation where Jay Ajayi's come in and just taken the show over. I mean, he's had two solid stat lines over the last 2 weeks, his first two games there, but that's been buoyed by long runs in both games. This is pretty much, it's pretty clearly a committee backfield, and Ajayi looks good, but really they have no reason to change it up. Corey Clement is playing well. LeGarrette Blount has played well really all year, kind of quietly. So I think they stick with like this three-headed running back attack, and that makes Jay Ajayi like a razor-thin margin of error player. If he doesn't rip off those long runs, he doesn't make big plays, he could be somebody that disappoints in your lineup in week 15. So I think he's definitely somebody to kind of ask some questions about before you play.
For sure. I like that. I mean, he's getting as many carries right now per game as DeAndre Washington, who's ECR number 60.
I mean, he's in a better offense, but I mean, it's that's the point. I mean, I really don't. So my take on this is, like, why did they go out and trade? I understand why they're doing it. I mean, it's working. How could we disagree with them giving LeGarrette Blount 13 carries, Ajayi 7 carries, Clement, whatever? How could we disagree when it's working as well as it's working? My question is, what he's doing, it's not like he's doing anything in the passing game. Couldn't you do this with LeGarrette Blount? Like, I mean, LeGarrette Blount has been playing above, I think, what I expected him to play this year. He's looked better. He's looked spry. It looks like he almost like lost some weight or something like that. But yeah, I just don't know why they traded for a guy that they were going to be using in a four-way timeshare. I just don't get it. There's so many questions about it, but I think that's a great call. What do you guys think about Alex Collins? For me, he's a sit. People have been hitting and missing with him all year. They've been looking for ways to start him, and then they're like, oh, I want to start him against Tennessee. Oh, then he tanks against Tennessee. Nope, I don't want to start him against Green Bay. Then he has a good game against Green Bay. Now everybody wants to start him again. This is not a week to start him. Houston has allowed just two running backs to run for more than 68 yards this season, and both of them had 26 and 29 carries. Alex Collins is not going to get that work with Danny Woodhead and Buck Allen in the mix. Houston also has not allowed a rushing touchdown since week one to Leonard Fournette. There is nothing good about this matchup for Alex Collins, and he should be on your bench this week.
I'm not going to disagree with you, man.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I feel like I'm always the person that's trying to hit on Alex Collins because he's looked so good this year. Mm-hmm. And then when he finally had that big game on Thursday night, I thought that would be like kind of the turning point. And I still think he's held on to the role that you want from him. And the only reason I could maybe make the argument on the other side, although you're right, this is a great run defense. Jadeveon Clowney is probably like the best run defending like edge player in the NFL right now. He's been incredible. He's a good pass rusher too, but at the same time, he's great in run defense. That's really the only part of this Texans team that hasn't fallen apart, because, you know, by the way, they gave up a ton of passing yardage. And like, is Joe Flacco a streamer this week? That's a question to ask. I don't know. That's when you're getting desperate. But at the same time, with Alex Collins, like, the only way I could talk myself into this one is I do think it will be a low scoring game. I don't think it's a situation where they'll get game scripted out and then Danny Woodhead has taken the majority of the plays. So I think he should push for like 15 carries, but you're right. It really is a rough matchup.
I mean, I look at this Houston defense. I don't think I'd start Marshawn Lynch against Houston. I don't think I'd start Doug Martin or Amir Abdullah against Houston. So why would I start Alex Collins? Like, I like Collins fine. You guys have heard me hype him several weeks, but I'm not starting him against Houston.
Yeah, Houston's a tough matchup. I told people that about Gurley the other week. I was like, don't play him in DFS. Houston's so much better than people think. Houston's a terrible pass defense. And Matt, you said it. I'm serious when I say this, that Joe Flacco is in the streaming consideration. Like, he's going to be a high-end QB2 in my rankings. Yeah, he's worth it, because, like, I'm telling you, that's Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert. That's where I'm going to end my argument. Like, Blaine Gabbert finishes the QB8. Right. Like, that ends all arguments.
He's better than Joe Flacco.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't like Joe Flacco, but he's not better than – I mean, he's better than Blaine Gabbert.
So, let me ask you guys this, because I agree with you. I did put I'd put Flacco on my deep dive waiver list this week if people need some quarterback help. I think he's definitely in consideration, at the very least, as like a floor play. I don't think he has an outrageous ceiling or anything, but so we were talking about this at work today, and Alex put the official beer bet out on Twitter from the four of us, Marcus, Franchise, Alex, and myself. The official over-under that we made for the Houston-Baltimore game in terms of passing, combined passing yards, 440. Would you take the over or under on that? Combined between Savage and Flacco.
I'm going to go over because I think Hopkins,
I'm going under.
I think Hopkins can do well. I mean, I think he's good enough to beat Brandon Carr enough. I mean, he beat Patrick Peterson last week on a couple plays. But I'm going to go over just because Houston, again, you can't move the ball on the ground. They've been allowing plenty of yardage to quarterbacks. There's been, I think, five or six quarterbacks this year who have thrown for more than 300 yards against them. They've allowed multiple touchdowns to one player in three straight weeks, I think it is. It's just, yeah, their pass defense is so bad right now. I have to go over.
I think these two teams should just combine into one team. They go Ravens secondary, Texans pass defense, and they don't really need either offense. Just use that defense, and they might make the playoffs.
The Ravens defense has been starting to play better.
Yeah, they definitely have. I went under for what it's worth. So if we hit the under, Bobby, I'll be retroactively drinking my beer for you as well.
It was a good number. I think you guys said a good number, though. That's a good one.
All right, guys. My running back sit is Damian Williams. I don't understand why everyone's starting him. Like, he's not special. He's not getting must-start kind of touches. He's playing a defense that's been killing it lately. And his workload, it kind of reminds me of Marlon Mack, like 6 to 8 carries per game, 2 to 4 receptions. The difference here is that Williams is nowhere near as electric as Mack. And somehow Mack is 10 spots lower. Why are people starting Damian Williams? Why is he owned right now?
I think it's game script. I mean, playing against New England, I want to say New England is a team implied total of 32.5 points this week. Like, that's ridiculous. I think it's that. It's. I don't know why Damian Williams is getting more touches than Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake is the more explosive running back, especially on first and second down. They've been mixing them in on third down. Like, they're both getting a similar amount of receptions, even though Damian Williams is probably the better receiver. But I think it has to do with game script. I think that's why people are playing him there. I think he's a solid floor play, just because they're going to kind of have to use him in the passing game a little bit.
I had to play Williams last week in desperation, and I got like 11 PPR points.
It worked, yeah.
So I'll speak no ill of Damian Williams. He helped me beat Maurice Jones-Drew in one of the biggest upsets of all time in our fantasy live league. So I will speak no ill of Damian Williams as a result.
You know, after Maurice Jones-Drew laid that block on, I think it was Sean Merriman, I would not beat him in fantasy football. I would just surrender, man.
Let me tell you what. Maurice is the biggest you-know-what talker of all time. So I'm happy to beat him. I'm happy to beat him, especially because he's like 9-2 and legit has a way better team than me. And I woke up Sunday morning and I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot to set this lineup. And it's like one of my more important leagues. And I had to start like Samaje. I was like, oh, I guess I have to start Samaje Perine. So it was like a total undeserved.
I bet he was so mad.
Yeah, awesome. It's a total undeserved win. But like I said, he's 9-2. I'm 6-5. So I think he'll take it.
All right, guys. Wide receiver start of the week. Matt, we'll have you go first here again.
Yeah. Well, wide receivers. Here's a position that I should know something about, right? A guy that I think is, yeah, maybe, I guess, depends. Someone I think is really starting to cook lately is Jamison Crowder for Washington. You know, he has 8, 11, and 13 targets over his last three games played. He gets a great matchup with the Giants. I still think that secondary and defense is one to pick on. I know Josh Doctson has the hype right now, and I really believe Josh Doctson is a future breakout player. I think he is breaking out, just maybe not so much in fantasy because the volume is just never going to be there in that offense. But I think Crowder is definitely somebody to play. He has over 70 yards in those last three games as well, too. So I think he gives you a solid floor. And like I said, the Giants defense is still something that I think you can attack. So Crowder is definitely a guy that I would play, who right now is outside the top 24 receivers, I think, is a wide receiver too this week.
Dig it.
I've got Crowder. Yeah, I've got Crowder well in my wide receiver too. I've got him up at number 20. His E-share is number 27. You just can't beat those targets, right? And with everybody on the Redskins being out, Jamison Crowder, he's going to keep getting the targets. So I'm all for it. Who's going to stop him on the Giants?
Well, Dominique Rodgers-Camardi plays a slot. And he's, like, granted, over the past few years, he's been really good. Like, one of the better slot cornerbacks in the game. But this year, he seems to have given up. Like, he's one of the players that has underperformed all year. He obviously got suspended for a game. There's definitely worries with him. I'm definitely not opposed to this. I think Chris Thompson being out also raises the ceiling for Jamison Crowder, because that's like an underrated thing for the short passing game. Samaje Perine is not Chris Thompson. He cannot fill that role. Jamison Crowder can be used all over the field. He could actually even be used in the red zone. So I have him as my number 26 receiver on the rest of the season and my rest of the season rankings. So I'm obviously a huge fan of Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, I think he's a start pretty much every week at this point, especially against the Giants. My start of the week is Corey Davis. Can we just breathe for a minute before crushing this guy some bust? He played the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers the past 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He gets the Colts this week and has 8 targets per start. You start anyone against the Colts with 8 targets per start, especially if they're an elite talent who's playing on extra rest. Corey Davis, for me, is a top 25 wide receiver. And I know a lot of people aren't going to want to start him, but I think he's an easy start.
Wow. Yeah. That's bold. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Corey Davis this week as well. I said it on the podcast yesterday that if he doesn't have solid games the next 2 weeks, that you can come at me and tell me that Corey Davis sucks, but he doesn't, so I'm not worried about it. But Corey Davis, he's going up against Pierre Desir. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I don't want to screw that up. But
Pierre Desir is one of those like old draft Twitter darlings from many many years ago. That was like my first year.
He's
blogging.
From Lindenwood, man.
The 2014 class. Yeah, fun times.
Yeah, he was fourth round pick from 2014. Like that's the thing is like he's allowed to, in his career, he's allowed a touchdown every 12.7 targets. That's who Davis is going to see the majority of the time. Rashawn Melvin has been playing better, I would say, than him. Rashawn Melvin actually covered Antonio Brown, held him to 4 catches, 29 yards or 47 yards, I think it was that game, before their bye. So he's been playing really well. He's going to see a lot of Rashard Matthews. So Corey Davis is a solid play. Definitely dig him. He was on my list actually as well, but instead I'm going to go with Jeremy Maclin. You know, we talked about the Ravens game. We talked about the Houston secondary and the problems that they're having. Jeremy Maclin is, he had a down week against Green Bay, and it's kind of because Mike Wallace kind of had the game that he should have had. Wallace scored his touchdown while lined up out of the slot, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the matchup that I wanted against Demaryius Randall in the slot.
Yeah.
But going against Houston, Kareem Jackson has been struggling a bit. I want to say he got banged up in the game last week. He was pulled from. But Maclin, yeah, this team's going to have trouble moving the ball on the ground, so they're going to have to resort to that short passing game. And I think Maclin is best suited as a wide receiver 3 in fantasy lineups this week.
Let me ask you a question, because Macklin's a good call. I was really on Maclin last week. You said, I really wanted that matchup in the slot with Randall. I thought this should be a good game for him. Was disappointed with the final outcome. Who do you like better this week? Like a guy like Jeremy Maclin or somebody like Robbie Anderson? Because those are two players I think are kind of close in my mind. Anderson obviously has been super hot, and I expected more from Maclin, but just those two straight head to head, who do you like better?
I don't like Robbie Anderson very much this week, because if you look at Carolina has, they're the only team in the NFL that has yet to allow a top 12 performance in any week this season. They've allowed a decent amount of wide receiver 2 performances, but James Bradberry has started to play a lot better in recent weeks.
Good. I know this. It's real good.
Yeah, at the start of the, like, he was really good last year, and then the start of this year, it seemed like he was like regressing, but then he's picked it up over the last few weeks. Carolina's defense looks really stout. So I just don't know if they have much time with the Panthers pass rush to get the ball downfield to Robbie Anderson. So if you're looking for, I guess, like that long play, yeah, but I would rather play Maclin. I think he comes with a higher floor, and he's a guy who could also score a touchdown this matchup, as obviously the Texans have been allowing touchdowns left and right. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous at this point.
Yeah. All right. Wide receiver sit of the week. I'm going to go first here. It's Sammy Watkins. And this is coming from someone who you all know loves Sammy Watkins. This has nothing to do, believe it or not, has nothing to do with Marshawn Lattimore's injury. If he plays, if he doesn't play, it doesn't matter. I'm not trusting a guy who gets 3.5 targets per game against a quality defense.
Well, if Robert Woods is out, that's going to raise that target ceiling. Like if Marshawn,
all the way to 4 targets.
Hold on. So if Lattimore is, no, hold on a second. If Lattimore is out and Robert Woods is out, Watkins is going to see, I'm calling it right now, he's going to see 8 targets in this game, and I'm going to move him up in my rankings. He's going to play. Ken Crawley's not very good.
We can make some kind of bet, because I want redemption. Right now I've got freaking Mitch Trubisky as my Twitter profile picture. So we need to make some kind of bet.
We do. We'll figure this out by the time we have our DFS show tomorrow. I'll come up with something that we should bet on for sure.
I like that. I like that call. I love the pro Watkins side. I think I'm on if all those conditions come down. So I'm interested to see how that bet works out for you guys.
Me too. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm going to love it, because Sammy Watkins is the guy that I've actually been rooting against this year, because Bobby and I have had a bet between Amari Cooper and Sammy Watkins. But
oh, cool.
This week, I mean,
who's the fastest tortoise? I don't know.
Pretty much. It really hasn't worked out very well for either of us, I should say. But yeah, my set of the week is Marvin Jones, and this should come as no surprise to people who actually pay attention to my wide receiver cornerback matchup article, because Xavier Rhodes is always in there. Xavier Rhodes is most likely the best cornerback in football. And he's going to shadow Marvin Jones in the perimeter. The Vikings have already talked about it, saying that they're willing to let him travel into the slot. But he typically stays in the perimeter. But Marvin Jones is a guy that Matthew Stafford has trusted in one-on-one situations. But against Rhodes, it's not something you want to do. Going back to their matchup earlier this year, Marvin Jones had one of his worst games of the year. You just don't play wide receivers against Xavier Rhodes. You don't do it.
Yep. I'm with you, man. There's no way. Xavier Rhodes should just cover Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. He's so good.
What's your take on Jones, Matt?
Yeah, I'm with you. Jones, like, you know, I was getting a lot of questions about him after his big three-game stretch where he had 11, 11, and 14 targets. And people were like, oh, is this Marvin Jones in every week play? And then I'm like, no, guys, we've seen this story before. Literally this exact same story. And, of course, he comes out with two targets, one catch against Cleveland. Kind of rebounded last week. But at the same time, I'm with you. He's just a super volatile play that you want to – You kind of want to try to project game script and matchup together, because obviously against the Browns, he faltered, but you know, that's the way it goes with the Browns. Like, you're not going to have to throw the ball 50 times and elevate a bunch of pass catchers. So he's a volatile player. And in this matchup against Xavier Rhodes, yeah, not a guy that I'm really trying to get into my lineup.
Yep.
So Matt, who's your sit of the week?
I think a guy that I was really shocked to see so high in the consensus rankings is Juju Smith-Schuster. He's been a great story. He's been a great find for the Steelers. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him. And he still got 8 targets last week, even though Antonio Brown obviously went off. But I just think this is a game where Pittsburgh is going to roll. I know that, you know, home road splits, whatever.
It's a home game.
Yeah. So it's a home game. Yeah, it's a home game for Pittsburgh. Brett Hundley is legit one of the worst players I've ever watched play quarterback. So just really, I think Green Bay gets crushed in this game. I think if it's going to be the pass game at all, it will be Antonio Brown, even though Juju, if he runs routes from the slot again, does have a solid matchup against Demaryius Randle. But at the same time, I really just don't think Pittsburgh is going to need to air it out much. And I do not see Juju getting a lot of targets here. Like, sitting up all the way at number 20 in the consensus rankings when I pulled it up earlier, that was pretty surprising to me.
Yeah, and he's also got a hamstring injury that they're saying that he's nursing, and they're taking it very light in practice and saying, being he's a rookie, that they need him at practice. So they're saying it's possible that he actually misses this game.
Joe Callahan time, man. The Packers have to save their season. Joe Callahan might be horrible, but Brett Hundley's already horrible. Like, what are you going from, like, 3 points a game to 2 points a game? Just try Joe Callahan. Maybe he saves your season.
Well, I'm actually with Matt to a certain extent. I actually think that this is a Le'Veon Bell game. I think some people are down on him, and he's been weak. But Kenny Clark, the Packers just lost. He's, like, their best defensive tackle. He's, like, the run stuffer, one of the best in the league.
He's awesome.
But, yeah, he's done. So he's not playing. Le'Veon Bell should go nuts in this game. And, honestly, if Juju Smith-Schuster is nursing a hamstring injury and not going to play a whole lot, they may just stick Eli Rogers in there and just kind of, like, let Juju work through it, because this is a game that they should dominate. It wouldn't surprise me if they try and get Martavis Bryant involved, to be honest with you. So, I mean, Juju is a guy that I've made the mistake before of fading him. I faded him when they played the Colts, because I felt the exact same way, Matt, that I was like, there's no way that they're going to need to pass a lot in this game. Juju's going to see 4 or 5 targets. He's going to finish with, like, 30, 40 yards, and people are going to be mad. And then, of course, he catches a long, like, 40-yard pass and a touchdown. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there like, eh, I'm an idiot. But everybody seemed to be on Juju that week. So I'm more concerned about the hamstring and a game that they really don't need him to win.
Guys, let's move on over to tight end. And we don't have to do start and sit, because it's just – every single week, it's kind of like everyone agrees on the top, you know, 10 or 11 tight ends. But I'm sitting Greg Olsen this week. I know he's been really good the past handful of years, but I just don't trust old guys the week they come off an injury. I'm sorry. He's well worth owning and everything, but it's not like he was any good in weeks 1 or 2 either. Hmm. I'm just going to wait and see before I play Greg Olsen.
Matt, what's your take on Olsen? And I'll give mine after.
That's a little... I'm with you in a sense of, like, this week, I don't know that I totally want to throw him out there, especially just because, you know, he's missed such a long stretch. I'm always nervous about guys coming off long stretch absences, just tossing them right back in the lineup. And I think we've seen Corey Coleman was actually kind of I wish we had mentioned the wide receiver section. He's kind of the exception to that. He saw 11 targets in his first game back and went over 80 yards. So, but normally you see guys kind of take a week to come back. I could see the problem is tight end is just such a wasteland. Yeah. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to play, you know, like a Hunter Henry Henry barely getting any targets over Greg Olsen. You're going to play Cameron Braid, whose role is declining over Greg Olsen. So I totally understand the logic from the sense that I don't want to just toss him right back out there. It's just going to be tough when you're breaking ties against him.
For sure. Yeah, I'd play either of those guys. I'd play Jason Witten, Kyle Rudolph, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, Tyler Croft. I've got Greg Olsen all the way down at 16 in my rankings.
Wow, that's hot. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I think Olsen, it was rumored that he was ready to play like 2 weeks ago, but obviously they couldn't because they put him on IR. So I think he comes back. Him and Cam Newton obviously have chemistry. And now that Devin Funchess is the only guy there, like they don't even have Curtis Samuel anymore. It's Russell Shepard as your number two receiver. You're not worried about him.
Doesn't count.
I just think that Greg Olsen's going to walk back into targets and he's one of the safer plays at tight end. So I'm not down with that. What I am down with is starting Tyler Croft over like everyone because he's against the Browns.
Yes.
And the Browns are just get molested every time they play a tight end who can catch the ball. The last time they played Tyler Croft, he finishes as the tight end one on 7 targets. He caught 6 passes for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns. Obviously this is a team that has more concern than Tyler Croft, so it's not that's the thing is some people continue to ask me, they're like, well, Mike, aren't the Browns gonna like work on stopping that now that they know that they can get beat by it? What, they're gonna go focus on stopping Tyler Croft so that AJ Green could beat them? that's not the brightest thing you've ever done. And the Browns have been so bad against tight ends for so long. If they could have fixed it, they would have by now.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's a nice streamer. I mean, he needs a touchdown to make good, but if anybody's gonna give a touchdown up to him, it's gonna be the Browns.
For sure. Yeah. Sure. Any hot takes for you, Matt? Anybody at tight end that you're like you really want to play or you really want to sit?
I think I will give you both, and I'll be quick on both. One player I'm going back to this week is definitely Jared Cook. It's crazy. You know, you've mentioned it several times, Mike, I think, in this podcast, and it's very much true. The Raiders' offense has been a total disappointment this year. And frankly, they just don't have very many good players. Like, their skill position guys, Marshawn Lynch and Amari Cooper, have not been week-to-week producers. Their most consistent guys week-to-week are Michael Crabtree and Jared frickin' Cook, and like that's not a good situation when your offense is in that spot. But they get Denver in Oakland this week. Denver consistently does give up points in production to the tight end position. You mentioned Tyler Croft last week did score against them. That's just the way you've historically always beaten the Denver Broncos defense. So I think you get Cook back in your lineup this week. And a guy I'm not as excited about as where everybody else might be is with Kyle Rudolph. I know he has 7 targets over his last 4 games, and then he had 9 targets in each of the 2 previous to that, but he has not crossed 60 yards receiving in any game this year. He's just not, I don't think he's the same player in terms of involvement he was, because they have the best wide receiver duo in the NFL and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. So I know it's a solid matchup against the Detroit Lions defense that historically gives up points to tight ends, but I'm not as excited about Kyle Rudolph as I am as a player like Jared Cook.
Definitely.
You know, Case Keenum's been fine for the Vikings, but if they had Sam Bradford, there's a chance the Vikings are undefeated right now.
Yeah, it's interesting Keenum has definitely given him a lot. I've been really happy with what I've seen from Keenum.
Yeah, and missing Dalvin Cook, I just can't believe they're still getting it done. Hey guys, Jared Cook has more receiving yards over the last 4 weeks than Rob Gronkowski and Zach Ertz.
Oh yeah,
gross.
Yeah, Zach Ertz.
Denver.
Yeah.
We talk about how bad Cleveland is against the tight ends. Denver's even worse against tight ends this year. Jared Cook is a top 5 tight end this week.
Yeah, I love Cook.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely make that argument. I have no issue with putting Goff up or with Cook up there, because I want to say they've allowed 8 tight end touchdowns on the year, which is somewhere that Jared Cook has kind of been lacking. But fun fact, guys, I wanted to say this in the show, and I don't know how I didn't bring it up until now, but did you know the Broncos have allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
It is nuts. I saw the stat today as I was looking through doing my research, and I was like, wait a minute. And I double checked it before I like wrote it in my article, and I was like, it's real.
That's incredible. I can hardly believe that, man.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. I don't know what 2017's brought a lot of weird things to defenses.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on over to bold predictions to close out the show. And I'm going to save mine for last of tags. Why don't you go first, and then we'll move on over to Matt.
All right, I had 2 of them. So my first one's going to be about one of Matt's favorite reception guys, and that's Tyler Lockett. He's been seeing plenty of targets. He actually has more targets than Paul Richardson on the season. Doug Baldwin's been somewhat inconsistent. This is a week where the 49ers, Kawan Williams has been playing better in the slot than, I mean, I think that anybody expected. It's not like he's great or anything like that, but I think that Tyler Lockett has a breakout game. I think he goes for 100 yards and a touchdown against the 49ers. This is a defense that has allowed countless top 24 performances. There have been five wide receivers who have gone over 100 yards against them. He's got it in him. It just hasn't come out yet. With Russell Wilson playing as good as he's been, this is a matchup that you got to love with him. And my second one is that Julio Jones silences all the haters and goes for 150 yards and two touchdowns against the Bucs defense. The Bucs, by the way, and before you laugh and say Julio Jones has scored one touchdown all season, against the Bucs last year, he scored in both games that they played. So it was a rare occurrence even last year that Julio Jones would score, but he did in both games. Brent Grimes is no match. Vernon Hargraves is no match. McCain is no match. Like, they just don't have a cornerback to cover Julio Jones. And Atlanta at home, there's so much to like about him.
I like the Tyler Lockett call. You know, I've been really impressed with Paul Richardson and Lockett this year as part of that Seahawks offense. So
yes,
definitely dig that one for sure. My bold prediction this week, again, I'm going to stick with the Thursday game, and it's that the Cowboys score over 30 points, and Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant are top 10 at their respective position, and Alfred Morris is top 15 at his respective position. I really like the way this game sets up for Dallas as long as Tyron Smith is back. I think Dak is, like, you know, another silence the haters type of game. I think this could be the highest scoring contest, the most back and forth one of these Thanksgiving games. I really like the way it sets up for the passing game. Dez Bryant, you know, he's been getting the volume. He's been getting the air yards. He's definitely not the same player that he used to be. There's no question about that. But I still think he's set for a big game here coming up on Thursday night. And I already talked about Alfred Moore. So that's my prediction of the week.
Nice.
Here's my semi-bold one. On Thanksgiving, I think Kirk Cousins is going to go for over 25 points for the third straight week and be the top overall quarterback. I mean, I know they've lost some pieces, but I still like Doxson, Crowder, Vernon Davis. I like all those guys quite a bit. So there's a train going on in the background. It seems like every time we do bold predictions, there's a train, whether we record in the afternoon or night. So don't know why that is.
Yeah, we're gonna need a bigger bold prediction because Kirk Cousins should destroy the Giants. He should.
Yes, so here's the big, bold prediction. Mike Williams is going to be a wide receiver one this week.
Wow.
We talked about it in the waiver wire episode. We talked about it in the waiver wire episode, and the Chargers are, giving him more and more snaps every single week. What was it, like 10, 15, 20, 25, 45 last week? And I know a lot of that was in the second half when the game was already out of hand, but he looked pretty good as well. This is someone who is a borderline elite talent. And I think that his breakout starts this week.
Wow.
I love it, man. I want to see him. I like that. That one's bold, and I like it, though. I do like it because I think that this matchup against Dallas, it could turn into, as Matt said, if Dallas is putting up 30 points, you're going to see the Chargers in dire situations where they're going to need to throw a bunch. And Mike Williams saw 8 targets last week. That's more than Tyrell Williams has seen all season. Keenan Allen, a lot of people are gaga over him right now, but at the same time, he's not a guy that's going to see 15 targets every week. So, with Mike Williams coming up, they drafted him at number 7 overall for a reason. Obviously they want to use him. So I hope this comes true. Not that I would guess it to happen, but I really do. I hope it happens.
He's ECR number 61 right now, and I'd be fine flex playing him. Like, I've got him wide receiver number 40. I think, Thanksgiving, everyone's going to be watching and everyone's going to be listening to the show saying, man, I should have listened to Tags and Bobby and picked him up because he's still going to be available in 60, 70% of leagues next week. Everybody is going to spend all of their fab on him.
Well, think about it. If he goes off, let's say he doesn't even go off. Let's say he gets 6 targets, he catches 4 of them for 60 yards, and one of them is a touchdown. Against Dallas, that's more than possible. Against Anthony Brown, who's been awful. So, I mean, it's very possible that that happens. And if it happens on national TV, because everybody's watching the Cowboys, everybody will pick up Mike Williams. So I think that you don't have to start him this week as a flex or a wide receiver 3, but I do think you do an anticipatory ad of Mike Williams. Wow.
I wonder, though, if people see Williams on the back of his jersey and they think that it's Tyrell Williams who's catching the touchdown, and then everybody forgets about him and nobody thinks
Tyrell Williams is scoring touchdowns. There won't be any mistaking. Honestly, I think if Tyrell Williams scored the touchdown, people would be like, "Dad, come on, that's got to be Mike, right?" We're at that point of the season.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, that's all for today's show. Matt, again, we really appreciate you coming on during the busy week, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. I hope everybody has a good week of football and everything. It's an awesome time of year. Obviously, like we said, work week can be crazy, but it's all worth it to get to Thanksgiving and get some, and please, if you have food takes, at me with them this week. This is the time to talk food takes, and everybody knows I have the most accurate and correct ones.
He has the most awful food
I've
takes.
I've got a serious food take. Just check out my top article on my Twitter. I've got it pinned to the top. It's all my food takes for Thanksgiving rolled in one.
Yeah, it's Bobby did an article. Yeah, check it out. He did an article on DFS. Basically, you're drafting a Thanksgiving lineup and you have to go through. I did it with my wife last night and we had fun going through it, but I could build a lineup. Cherry pie's got to be in there.
Yeah. Cherry pie. Yuck. Oh, God.
All those fruit pies, man. Get out of here.
You know what?
Warm
you two are like the worst. You two are the worst food takes. Like, I know. Like, Matt's like Brussels sprouts Twitter. Bobby's talking about spray, like tear. What is the spray? I don't even remember anymore.
Warhead spray candy, man.
Oh, God.
I've never heard of that before.
It's good. Yeah, you should. You should spray it on your Brussels sprouts to make them actually taste good.
Oh, jeez. All right. That my lawyer says that's enough. I can't answer any more Brussels sprouts questions. I am still officially retired after all.
Okay. Yeah, I did forget about that. That was a good announcement. All right, guys. Well, we've got one more show coming up this week. We're going to do the DFS show another day early. We're going to get some Thanksgiving takes in and then also do the main slate. So make sure to tune in for that. Get in for the giveaway. We're giving away a Hall of Fame upgrade to one lucky listener. Just subscribe and review us on iTunes. Send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. And thank you to the sponsor of today's show, SeatGeek. If you download their app and enter the promo code FantasyPros, all one word, you get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. For Mike Degliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.